Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, everyone. It's Leah B. Olson. Thank you so much for listening to Youth Sports Intervention, heard on the Radio.com app, Google Play, iTunes, and Stitcher. Today, I'm really thrilled to have the opportunity to talk with Michael Walker. Michael is the head coach at Minneapolis Roosevelt High School and is also the director of the Office of Black Male Student Achievement in Minneapolis Public Schools. And you also have a lot more going on because you just told me that you're also getting a PhD. You didn't mention what it's in. So welcome, first of all, Michael.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about your background that got you to where you're at.
Oh, so sharing my autobiography, which is important, right? Let us people know who I am. So born and raised, pretty much grew up in Gary, Indiana, my early part of my years, and then moved to Minneapolis on the north side. And so come from a family of five. So mom and dad, four other siblings. And, you know, sports has been a huge part of my life, especially as a youth. I played basketball. I played a little bit of football.
Just a little.
And I played some baseball. But basketball was my love. And so I played that all the way growing up and went through middle school and high school. Was fortunate enough to earn a basketball scholarship to play at Southwest State in Marshall, Minnesota. And then once I completed that, I came back and started to volunteer coach. Obviously, through the process of academics are really important. So I finished with a degree in physical education. And so I worked at the YMCAs doing youth development programming for a number of years. And then I went back to get my master's in counseling. And that's how I got into the school system. So I became a counselor in the school system and did that for a number of years. And while I was there, one of my old teachers was saying, "You will be a good principal, Michael. You will be a really good principal." So she convinced me to go back and get my administrative license, which is how I became an assistant principal at the time. And from there, I was a AP for, what, 3 or 4 years?
Okay.
And after that, the superintendent at the time was Bernadette Johnson, and she was creating this initiative for the Office of Black Male Student Achievement. And she asked to talk to me and see if I was interested, and she selected me to come and start this new initiative that had no blueprint, so I had to create it from scratch.
Wow. So, yeah, cool. That's amazing. It's an amazing path you've been on, and it's great to see you doing that through Minneapolis Public Schools, schools where my children went, where I went as well. So I'm Minneapolis South, so I do sit across from a rival right now.
Oh, yes, indeed.
But one of the reasons, though, Michael, I really wanted to have you on the podcast is because I think with coaches, I could interview a coach every single day because it's such an important role for athletes. And I think when people look back at their sporting experience, the first thing they think of outside of how well they did physically was how they connected in with the coach. And so what is the biggest piece, do you think, for a head coach to come in with when you're trying to connect with so many different kids? What do you see the role as the head coach being?
Yeah, you asked that question. That's a very big question and a huge responsibility, right? Because first and foremost, we have young people that are looking up to us and are looking at every one of our moves and statements and perspectives. And so we have to be mindful of how we are presenting ourselves to the young people that are standing before us, as well as their parents and the community, right? So this coach's role has a lot of eyes on them from the outset. So just kind of to answer the question around what is one of the most important things, I don't know if there's one most important thing, but I have kind of created this acronym called COACH. And so the C stands for communicator. I think as a coach, you have to be a really good communicator because you're delivering a message to so many different personalities, so many different aspects. When you're in a game, high intense situations, you got to deliver messages to referees and officials. You have to deliver messages to your players, to your assistant coaches. So communication is really important. So being a communicator, the other piece of being a good communicator is also being a good listener, because we have to be willing to receive feedback from our players so that we can become better coaches for them. And another key to that is challenging appropriately. Because we have to know what makes our athletes tick. We have to know how to get the best out of them. And so we have to try some things and to make sure that we're challenging each student and each athlete as they need to be challenged, because not everything is going to work for each player.
Right. Well, that communicating piece is so big. And when you said to be a good listener, I think when we think of coaches, we don't really think of them as listeners. We just think of them as telling us what to do and how to do it. But really, if you think of the greatest coaches of all time, they really do just have such a keen sense of what is making everybody tick and how this is working. And they also set a standard of how they want to run their program. And is that something that you've had to do even before you thought about how do I connect in with each individual as this is who I am as a coach?
For sure. Obviously, you come in with your own coaching philosophy, right, and your models and whatnot. But what I think is really key for me, it's something that I've learned through working in education, is how do we allow the players to have ownership in the process? And so one thing that I like to do with my players is we talk about what are going to be our rules, what are going to be our expectations, what are going to be our guidelines, so that we have buy-in from the players, right? So now it's not Michael Walker, coaching head coach, or Calvin Hill or Donnie Gross, my coaching staff coach, who are saying this thing. It's our team. We have come to this from a collective. And so having that voice be really apparent and part of the process, I think builds a more of a team camaraderie is what we want. So now that we understand how to hold each other accountable, not only on the court, but also outside of the playing field or court, depending on what sport you're playing.
Okay, so why don't you finish off your acronym?
Oh, for sure.
And then I'll ask you another question.
Yep. So we said communicator is the C. The O is outside of the sport, right? Again, how are we being intentional to teach life lessons, right? So it's not just about the game of basketball. It's about how are we ensuring that we know who our players are individually, so getting to know them on a personal level, so that we can use that information to help better support them and navigate the world. Teaching them life lessons through the game of sport. So often, you know, we want to make sure that kids are being responsible, being productive members of society. And so we can use examples that are right there in front of us. So, you know, I talk about rebounding for one thing. Like, if you forget to box out or you fail to box out, like, that's a responsibility that you missed out on. And look at what it happens to the rest of the team. And now let's translate that into the real world, saying, so what are some responsibilities that you have in the real world that you may have missed out on that has impacted other folks in your community or in your family?
I love that.
Right. So trying to make sure that we're doing that. The A is being a student of the game. And that just means being a lifelong learner at every step. So going to other coaches' clinics, making sure that you have coaching mentors that can help navigate and share with you, because we don't know everything. So how do we have folks that we can call up and say, hey, I'm dealing with this situation, or give me some new offenses or plays that I can run, because last night that 2-3 zone kicked my butt, right? How do we make sure that we are connecting with those folks? And then also having good people around you, so making sure you have good assistant coaches so they can help with that, being a student of the game. And then C is our character development. Again, it's really talking about how do we build young men, for me, young men, and to become productive members of society. And so, again, talking about those skills that we can use outside of the sport, but that can happen directly in the sport. And so that takes time to grow and develop, but it's about using those situations and making them apparent in the real world. And then the last one is just having high expectations, right? Making sure that we have expectations for everyone, coaches included. We don't get to be excused from that process. So what are the expectations I have for myself, my coaching staff, and then what do we have for our athletes? And then part of those expectations is setting goals, individual goals as well as team goals, right? Because as an athlete, you're competitive, so you want to do well personally, but you also want to make sure that those goals are benefiting the team. And when we're also talking about goals, it's not just the athletic goal, but it's a goal that is talking about the whole child. And so what are some goals that you have outside of sports? That's another way for us to get to know our student athletes, to see how can we be supportive in other spaces. So we have them set goals on a weekly basis that's connected to the sport, but also connected to them outside of the sport.
So there's a lot more going on than just being on a court with your kids. And I think that's the key that sometimes we do forget when we look in particular at high school athletics and you see the coaches and the kids, how much time, how much energy, how much all around that you have to put into young people to help them succeed.
Yes. I got to take a deep breath, because sometimes people only think coaching happens from tip off to the end of the game or from those 2 hours of practice. no, that's just what everybody sees. There's much more things happening. I mean, just like today, me and a couple of my players were texting back and forth just about how they're doing in school. When are we going to start doing some more open gyms? Because they want to get in the gym to get ready.
That's
and then
good.
Just ask me questions about, so I'm thinking about going to college. What type of colleges should I be looking at? Right. So we're having all these types of conversations. And really, the coach is a very influential person. I think back to the coaches that I have. I can remember coaches in my life from when I was 10 and 12, 11
yes.
years old. My high school coach, still really good friends that I'm still connected with. So these are not just relationships that happens in this small time frame. They become over your lifetime.
You're right. And I think it's the most important relationship I've had in my life. In particular, my high school coach was that person who, he was the first person outside of a family member that had a bigger view for me than I had for myself. So I agree with you that the impact is so powerful. And the one thing I hear from coaches over and over again is that the relationship with parents can be great because parents do so much supporting. They help out in so many different ways, and it also can be very contentious. And how is there a way that you try to create relationships with the parents as well to try and make that a situation that's stable for everybody?
For sure. And I think that's always going to be a work in progress. I mean, just like with anything, when you're building relationships with people, it's going to take time. But one thing that I try to be very cognizant of is being transparent, right? How am I upfront with what my thoughts are, what my perspectives are, making sure that the students are well informed and also parents are informed. And so having an open door policy, and that doesn't mean that they can just contact me anytime, because there's times when everybody's, you know, intensity level is high, right? So if you have a concern after a basketball game and we have just lost that game, probably not the best time to come and talk to the coach about maybe an individual time. But sometimes parents may not know that.
Okay.
But as a coach, I have to slow down and say, hey, if I haven't said this before, because sometimes we could be proactive and share things beforehand. But if I haven't, just say, hey, this may not be a good time, but can we set up a time tomorrow that we can talk and have this conversation? Because everybody's going to be a little bit heated in that situation. I'm upset that I just lost a game. Maybe the parents upset that their child didn't play enough or didn't get
sure.
their shots or whatever it is that they were expecting. So let's cool down for a little bit and then let's have the conversation so that we can be in a rational mind and not kind of go at each other. But again, that's not always going to work, right? That's not always going to work. And so sometimes you are stuck in those moments. And what I try to do is what I use when I'm working with students in school and adults is be calm, be cool, be collective. Try to de-escalate those situations so that we can really get to the meat of what we're trying to discuss. Because at the end of the day, it's really about the student. How do we support the student? Because the parent is coming in saying, I want what's best for my baby.
Right.
And I have to, as a coach, as an educator, know that that's the space that they're coming from and not take it so personal if they're upset with me, but understand that they're coming from of a protection. I want what's best for my child.
Well, and I think that people have to understand, I think it's hard for parents to understand that there's a natural tension that exists between athletes and coaches. That is just how it is. You know, you're pushing them to do great things. They don't want to run the lines and do all that kind of stuff. And so there is this, you know, your kids come home from a hard practice and they're talking about how hard coach is and Coach Walker and this and that. And parents sometimes don't know how much of that is just the natural tension and then where do I need to step in? And my philosophy in my household was I was never going to step in unless I thought there was a serious situation where, you know, something bad was happening. But I never stepped in if it was about the game, court time, any of that. What do most parents come to you for?
I think it's the whole gamut. Some comes for support. You know, maybe their child is having some concerns and not necessarily connected to basketball. So I'm saying, so I get some of those conversations where there may be child may be struggling with some teacher connections or relationships, so I can go support that. Sometimes I get conversations and questions about playing time. You get questions about your philosophy and those sorts of things. And you know, that's all those things are really subjective, right? Because every coach is going to have a different philosophy. Every coach is going to have a different offense or defense. And so we have to just make sure that we are open-minded and delivering those messages in a respectful manner and understanding that not everyone is going to agree with your philosophy or the way that you go about doing things. I mean, that's just part of the job, I think. And Getting to your point about parents stepping in, I don't have a problem with parents stepping in. I just want to make sure they're stepping in a respectful manner and in a respectful time. Because, again, I'm aware that the job is for them just to advocate for their child.
Yes.
And that's what they should be doing. But how do we make sure it's a productive advocation and not something that's negative and contentious, right? Because I have four kids as well who play sports.
Okay.
So I understand of being a parent, and I'm watching my baby play, and I'm like, oh, my goodness, that coach just did that, right? So I got to check myself.
Yes.
Because I'm also a parent, and so I understand that role. And so I try to be really calm as a parent on the sideline and try not to project my feelings onto my child, right? Allow them the space to grow and learn and be coached and taught from different personalities and different perspectives. I think those are some of the things that we should be teaching our athletes, and not always stepping in to support, but help give them the tools to navigate those spaces, mm-hmm. how to advocate for themselves.
Yeah, and I think that's probably the biggest difference, that maybe the shift we've seen over the past 10, 15 years is that kids used to just have to work that out for themselves, and now parents are stepping into those situations. It may be during a game, it may be after a game, it may be a brawl in the stands, or not even that contentious, but and so we've kind of taken that role away from the athlete. And I think that's the key, right, is that the athletes get to work through that themselves to figure it out.
That's part of that outside the sport, right? What skill sets are we providing our young people? And this is a partnership between the coach and the parent. And so we have to be in relationship as well, be able to have those conversations to make sure that we are not just pushing parents off or not allowing students to navigate the space. But I think sometimes that has to be the adult conversation, say, so how can you help your son navigate what's going on the court or in practice? Give them some tools to come have a conversation with me as a coach. Teach them how to advocate for themselves, stand up, and then we can have that dialogue. I mean, those are all teachable moments that can help the young person be successful later in life, not just right now.
Yeah, I love that. That's great work that you're doing there. Tell me a little bit about the difficulty in trying to oversee athletes in the classroom as well from the coaching standpoint. So we know that kids need to be eligible to play, and we also want them just to do well anyway. So you're checking on their grades. How much impact do you have? And is it often that you're going to teachers, and or are you usually working directly with the athlete and saying, "How we got to figure this out?"
Well, I think it's a both-and approach. So one thing that we do in our program at Roosevelt is before practice, we have study hall. So we have an hour of study hall right after school that the students have to come to with work that they need. They can actually go and meet with their teachers individually if they need some support in math or science or whatever it may be. And so we have that allocated time every day before practice.
That's
very important. So one of our coaches sits in with that, with those players while they're conducting study halls. And that's also where they do their goal setting at as well. So they do the goal setting as part of it. I think they do it on Mondays. And then the rest of the days that we have practice, they're doing their homework. Now, if there are students who are having some difficulties in certain classes, then there may be times that we step in as coaching staff to go have conversations on behalf of the students or in partnership with the students. And so let's figure out how can we create a better relationship with this teacher so that you can get the grade that you need to get in order to stay eligible, but also not just to stay eligible, but to make sure you graduate and have the opportunity to go to college. And so all those pieces are really valuable. And I said before, it's about giving the students the necessary skills to be able to advocate for themselves. And so having those conversations, which goes back to the earlier question you said about time. It's a lot of time that not everybody is privy to. And so sometimes they see the highlight of the coach on the game night,
right,
but they don't see the background coach. Basically, it's a... Well, I'm not going to talk about pay because a lot of coaches are volunteering.
Sure.
Not really highly paid, especially if we're talking about Little League and high school. It's not like you're making a whole lot of money. You're doing a lot of basically part-time pay for full-time
work.
Overtime work.
Yes.
Right? So it's really about the person really has a passion to be supporting the students and teaching the sport. And so we have to be gracious with our coaches because they are giving of their time. And sometimes I don't know if everyone understands that they have given up time from their families. Like I said, I have four children.
Yeah.
And so my daughter's playing high school sports, so they're going to be nice that I have to miss her game because I have a game. And so I am making a sacrifice. And so hopefully parents and the community and the players understand that we are people too, and that we want to be supported in the field.
Yeah, absolutely. The coach really is a human being, not just someone we can yell at from the stands. And that's not really fair, because that's not what happens all the time for sure. But let me ask you this question, because there's a couple things I want to get here before we have to wrap up. But I know kids in lower socioeconomic positions, one of the Aspen Institute just came out with some new research saying less kids coming out for sports because of the nature of how we do sports now, because there's such a large traveling piece to it. So we're really seeing in sports where we hadn't seen decline before, it's a lot harder for kids. What are you seeing working in a city school?
Yeah, well, the one thing I like about our city school is that we find ways for students to participate. We don't allow that to be a barrier. We will figure it out. But I think what you're referring to is mostly some of like the summer programs, where there is a lot of travel and a lot of cost to that. You know, obviously, I don't have a whole breadth of knowledge on that. But I do know that some folks are fundraising and that sort of thing. But I am worried that there may be some athletes who may be missing out because of their inability to pay. And I don't have an answer for that other than, you know, hopefully we can find spaces that we can do some fundraisers. People can sponsor some of these young people, or we find a way to lower the cost of these of these events, you know. Right. And because I even think when I go watch my daughter plays, I mean, that's a lot of money when it's me, my wife, and my other three children.
Sure.
And then you got to buy something at the concession stand, plus you had to pay for them to be on this team. It becomes a pretty penny. And so we just got to be mindful of what we're charging and how that is impacting families, as you said, who may not have the financial resources to participate.
So lastly, before we leave, I always want to give parents and athletes some advice, and I'm hoping that you can do that. Some advice for the athletes on how to come and be coachable, maybe just a couple pieces and tips there. And then for the parents, and I think you really said it through this podcast, but the best way that you can show up for your kid as a sport parent.
Yeah. So first with the athlete, I would say to be committed. Show your commitment, because everyone is coming to the team to try to get better, hopefully to get some wins as well. But show your commitment. Be there every day. Come there. Work hard. Come with 120% effort. 100% effort is not going to get it. We got to go above and beyond. So that's one thing I would say, commitment level. The second thing I would say is be okay with being critiqued and being ready to receive feedback. Our jobs as coaches is to make you better, which means that we have to really deconstruct your game, dissect what you're doing on the floor or on the field to make sure that you are getting better. And so try not to take that personal. Understand that this is a growing and learning process.
I love that.
And so that's, you know, two that I would say for the athletes.
Okay.
That's really, I would say that's pretty good. For the parents and families, I would say have grace with the coach. And what I mean by that, you may not agree with everything that the coaches are doing, and that's okay. But also understand that they are doing the best that they can in the situation that they're in. They're making decisions in split seconds, so every decision is not going to be based in support of your child only. Remember, there's an entire team that is being impacted by those decisions that coach is making. So give them grace and understand that there is much more than just your child on that team. Secondly, if you do have some concerns, find a productive way to have those conversations with the coaches. Like I said earlier, it's not about approaching the coach right after a basketball game or football game when there's especially been a loss or whatnot. Do that the next day. Send an email, make a phone call and say, hey, can we set up a time to talk about whatever the situations are? And come in a space to learn and grow as well, but to share your thoughts and your perspective. As I said, the coach needs to be a good listener. And so this is part of that being a good listener, is to take that feedback. Because, again, we're giving feedback and critique all the time to athletes and players. We also have to be willing to take that same feedback and critique from our families and our athletes. And so I do a survey with my student athletes at the end of the season to say, so I've been critiquing you guys all season. Now you guys get to critique my coaching. What can I do to be a better coach for the next season coming up.
That's pretty amazing because I haven't seen a lot of coaches doing that. So hats off to you and what you're doing over at Roosevelt High School. And there's lots more I would love to chat with you about. So I may have to bring you back, Michael.
I'm all good. I'm for that. That's perfect.
Okay, that would be wonderful. So thank you so much for being part of U Sports Intervention and for all the work that you've done with young people, African-American males, and just in our community.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
In my next podcast, we will hear from a former basketball player who was an outstanding student and an outstanding athlete. She is an ESPN broadcaster and founder and CEO of her own consulting business. She will give us her take on what's going on in youth sports and so much more. You can download the episode on the radio.com app, iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.